This is Generations, my friends. Kevin Swanson with you. I'm executive director for Christian Home Educators out here in Colorado. I'm also a pastor and a father, and that's why I'm here. Father of five, we homeschool our children out here on the eastern plains of Colorado. And folks, the homeschooling movement from the beginning was largely a movement of mothers. So I think a lot of people think it's kind of strange that I'm showing up on the air and talking about homeschooling, which we do from time to time. You know, it's usually a mother who is the one who says, man, I'm not sure I want my child in a school where there's shootings going on and rapes and murders and sexual molestations. I think I'd rather just pull my daughter out of this place. Or this evolution stuff. It's mothers who are concerned about, you know, maybe we ought to be teaching our children that God created the world in 6 days. That's usually the mother who says, hey, I'm not sure I like this one-size-fits-all education system, forcing every kid into the same academic level all the time. Every single child that was created differently with different talents, gifts, and abilities by God, does it make any sense for them to be processed through this cruel system where everybody gets the same level of academic treatment every single year in every single class? Sure, that's the right kind of education. It's usually mothers who get the clue first. And I think it's because mothers have an inborn sense to protect their children from getting destroyed emotionally, spiritually, and physically. And a lot of mothers out there actually care, and there's an inborn protective sense, which, as it turns out, sounds pretty biblical, you know, when it comes down to it. You shall teach your children in your home, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. It sounds sort of biblical, doesn't it? Well, as it turns out, when you look at the Bible speaks to dads. Fathers, you bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The Lord says, fathers, you are responsible for these things. Dads are actually supposed to be teaching their children as they sit in the house, as they walk by the way, as they rise up, as they lie down. See, this is for dads. The Bible directs it to dads. But of course, when you have a breakdown, a social breakdown, a spiritual breakdown in a nation, you always have an abdication of fatherhood. Always. That's the fundamental problem with the nation, of course. 37% of children born without fathers, and most children don't have fathers as they grow up. Their fathers refuse to do Deuteronomy 6:7 and Ephesians 6:4. See, fathers don't have much of a vision. So if we're going to have a revival of family life in America and a biblical reformation of all of life, it's not going to happen in this country without the revival of fatherhood. Not going to happen. Just not going to happen. I say praise God for moms who are getting somewhat of a vision to get these kids out of the public schools, give them a Christ-centered education, and give them a one-on-one education that's based on the principle of individuality, life integration, and a biblical worldview. That's great. Moms are doing this, but it's just a start. Unless dads get involved, I think our movement is dead. As a leader of the movement for 10 years, I'll tell you what, without dads getting involved, our movement will not survive. Dads have got to come to the homeschool conferences. Dads should be in tune with their children's education. Dads ought to be teaching the Word of God to their families as they sit in the house, as they walk by the way, as they rise up, as they lie down, as the Word of God says. Dads have got to get a vision. Without a vision, the people perish, says the Word. And if fathers don't get a vision for raising their children with godly character, a vision for setting the direction for their own families, a vision for defending their homes from the ungodly intrusion of powerful civil governments. If dads won't get that kind of a vision, folks, it's all over. It's all over. You're not going to see education of our young people improve, and you're not going to see the decimation of the family stopped in this country. Well, in a moment, we're going to talk about the involvement of dads, how we got involved, how I got involved, and how one other homeschool dad got involved. Jim Bob Howard is another homeschool dad who's connecting with his kids. He's got a vision, and he's also editor-in-chief of Homeschooling Today magazine. Jim Bob Howard will be with me next on Generations. Stay with me.
With literacy rates falling and American schools approaching third world nation status in math and science, parents everywhere are concerned, and they're getting involved. That's why tens of thousands of families across the state of Colorado have turned to home education. For over 20 years, Christian Home Educators of Colorado has hosted an annual conference designed to encourage and inspire families anywhere along the path, from beginners to veteran homeschoolers. Throughout the year, they offer special introductory seminars, retreats, graduations, a news magazine, and a satellite school to aid in the required record keeping. CHECK also offers a bookstore complete with the best resources, tapes, and curriculum, all of which has been carefully chosen to equip and supplement your homeschool program. To learn more about CHECK, visit their website at chec.org.
And we're back on Generations Friends. Kevin Swanson with you. And with me today also is Jim Bob Howard on the phone line, another homeschool dad. And he is also editor-in-chief of Homeschooling Today magazine, a magazine that I recommend to all of our listeners. Jim Bob, welcome to Generations.
Thank you, Kevin. It's good to be here.
Hey, Jim Bob, let's talk a little bit about your experience with homeschooling. I mean, you guys started, what, 6 or 7 years ago. You have, is it four children?
Yes, sir. Four so far.
And you have been homeschooling then for 6 years. How'd you get started?
Well, we got started. We were going the route that everyone else was, that our church was going. Had them in the right preschool, and which was going to feed right into the church school for most of them. And my son was having trouble. He was having trouble sitting still.
Yeah, and that's not unusual for boys, I hear.
Exactly. But they wanted him to sit still, and they wanted him to focus in a classroom in a way that he was just having trouble doing. Mm. And my son has quite an intellect, and I think that's probably common of most firstborns. They want to lead and be in charge of what's going on. And so he was running into discipline issues, and was actually sent home the day that they were supposed to do their Christmas program, which just broke my wife's heart. And as I went up to get him. And bring him back home, and he had to miss the program. I got home, and my wife was on the internet looking up homeschooling and everything that she could about it. And that was the beginning of our homeschooling. It certainly wasn't my leading. It was because of her looking to see what other alternative we had besides putting him back into a classroom situation.
Yeah. Well, now, Jim Bob, you're a dad. I'm a dad. But this homeschooling thing is sort of a mom's thing for the most part. You know, conferences are typically moms. Homeschool magazines are for mom. You publish a homeschool magazine. My guess is it's mostly moms that read it.
That's right.
Support groups are for moms. You know, I've spoken at a lot of support groups. I'm sure you've been there. And, you know, you show up, there's 48 moms there, and you.
You know? Right.
When did you wake up, Jim Bob, and realize that, you know, maybe you're responsible, too, for the paideia, for the Christian education of your child?
It was a gradual thing for me. As providentially, as we were began looking at homeschooling, I, you know, listened to my wife and to her concerns with putting him back into a classroom, and I quickly got online and said, all right, let's find out about this homeschooling. Is it legal? Can we do it? You know, what about socialization? All those other questions. About 2 weeks after we had this discussion, our local regional support group had a conference, and I was very thankful. It was only 2 weeks later, and so we went, and there were some very godly men who were speaking, who laid it right out on the line. Many of the men many of the talks that I went to were homeschooling dads who had been doing it for many years, and I quickly realized, oh. This is my thing. I'm supposed to lead this.
Yes. It's got to be your vision, and your wife ought to be right there with you with that vision.
Right.
Unfortunately, in many cases, it's not that way. But I guess what we're trying to do today is encourage other dads to get involved. I think initially for me, Jim Bob, I was not really involved. I was working full time. I mean, you
know,
kids were my wife's bailiwick. That was her department. And
right.
I was doing my thing, bringing home the bread and butter. And she was supposed to be homeschooling the children. And for the most part, I think she trained the children, too, in those early years. Now, when I got home, I got involved somewhat. But there were times I got home, I went into my office, and I started working on my books. Because I got to write some books, and I ran for governor of Colorado. You know, I got to save this state. I got to save the country here.
Right.
I'm busy.
Yeah.
You know, I got to write the books and save the country and bring home the bread and butter. I really don't have a lot of time to, you know, raise these children, and they're screaming an awful lot, and they're getting in the way, and you know, so. But the Lord really convicted me and brought my heart back home, and I got involved directly in some ways. It took a little while, but we got involved in family worship. My wife, actually, for the first couple of years, I think she was the one who was sitting down reading the Bible and praying with the children each day. And a couple of years into it, I realized, nah, I got to be there.
Right.
I got to be
there.
And not
just from the standpoint of I'm the principal.
Yeah.
You know, that's very, very much of a hands-off. But that's the transition that I went through. I went from, this is my wife's thing, to, oh, wait, I'm the principal. I need to approve everything that goes through, to, wait a minute, I'm the one that God has put in this position to do what Deuteronomy 6 says, which is to impress on my children all of the things that are required, which are to love the Lord with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength and do it all day long. When they rise up, when you lie down, you sit at the table, you walk along the way. Wait a minute. Okay, this has to be all the time. But he's talking to fathers there, and he says, tell this to your children. Impress these things on your children. So that's my job.
You know, here's one thing that hit me. It's a word picture that hit me a couple of years into our homeschooling. I realized that my wife was trying to pound some nails with a 2-pound hammer, and I had this humongous air hammer that could pound the 16 pennies like you would not believe. And I, you know, there is something about a dad opening the Word of God and teaching it with conviction and bringing in his own examples and his own applications. There's something about a dad that does that, that just multiplies the effect of that word in the hearts and lives of those little kids.
Right.
And I realized, you know what? I really do have tremendous influence on these children, especially my son. And my son's the oldest child in the home, but I found I had such huge influence that I just could not leave this all up to my wife.
Right. Now, some men are going to hear that and they go, well, you know, of course, Kevin, you're a pastor. Of course you can open up the Word of God and share it with your children. And, I'm just a guy out there 9-to-5 trying to support my family. How am I going to read the Bible with conviction the way you can?
And I would just say, hey, guy, God hardwired you to do this. You know, you're hardwired, man.
Right.
God gave you the instruction to bring your children up in the paideia of the Lord. And actually, there's another verse, 1 Thessalonians 2:11. I don't know if you ever read this one, Jim Bob, but it says, you know, Paul says, I taught you like a father teaches his children, like a father nurtures and comforts and exhorts his children. That's the way I did it with you.
Right.
So here, Paul says, you know, the father is the normative for the pastor.
Right.
You know, the father actually copies what the pastor actually copies what the father should be doing. The father's the norm. Because God has hardwired him for that relationship and that ability to disciple his children as they sit in the house.
Right.
Yeah.
So then you come down to, all right, so I'm supposed to be the one leading this. Does that mean that I'm doing all of the teaching? How am I going to do all the teaching when I am away from the house all day? When I am working and trying to bring home the bacon to be able to support this family, how do I do that?
Yeah.
How does that work? And I think what we need to do is we need to say, well, part of the reason why you're having trouble understanding how that works is because your viewpoint, and this is my viewpoint, is school is done from, you know, 7, 8, 9 to 3.
Yeah.
It's during the day, which, you know, that's when we went to school. You were homeschooled. I went to public school. But so you know, that's when I was in school. And so my thought was, oh, well, school has to be done during those hours because in the evening, you know, there's TV, there's dinner, there's getting ready for bed, and so all of school has to happen during the day. Well, that's not the case. When we homeschool, we don't limit our school to 9-to-5. It's when you rise up. And when you lie down, and when you walk along the way, and when you sit at your table. And so it is throughout the day, but it's also in the evening. It's every moment that God gives you to be with your children. You need to be teaching them how to love the Lord with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength.
And Jim Bob, I think one of the things that a lot of fathers forget is they're up 112 hours every week.
Yes.
They're out of bed 112 hours every week, okay?
Right.
They work 40 out of that. And, okay, so what do you got left? 72 hours. Now, it appears to me that there's some other things going on during those 72 hours that where you could involve your child. A lot of dads come back to me and say, I work for a living. I don't have time to integrate my children into my life. I say, well, no, wait a minute. You actually do have a few other hours that you're up and around, and you can bring your children into your life during those hours. There's nothing wrong with doing some delegation for our wives. The other thing that I would say, Jim Bob, is that I treat our family worship as the core curriculum. Yeah. The
right.
core element of my home school, the real core of it, is where I'm involved. That's
right.
where you bring the Word of God in, because that's what God says in Deuteronomy 6:7. I want you to teach my Word to your children as you sit in your house. So that's core curriculum. So when we go get through the Word of God, which, you know, that runs 30 minutes to an hour every day, when we sit down and we start teaching the Word of God and sing the Psalms and do the other things, memory verses, prayers, et cetera, that is core curriculum for our family. If we don't get anything else done on that day, I'm still satisfied.
Exactly.
Now, maybe the Department of Education may not be satisfied, but I'm satisfied, okay? Anyway, if the father's involved at the core, I think, mom then could take control of some of the other things. You know, she can work with the phonics and the math and some of the other things. And again, I'm not saying dad shouldn't be involved in those subjects, but if the dad's involved in the core, that's key.
I agree. And that's where we come down with the idea of father-led home education is that it's dad who's in charge of making sure that core happens. And everything else, honestly, all of your other subjects are really need to be bringing them back to God's Word, to His creation. When you're doing math, you're counting, you're multiplying, but what are you adding and multiplying? You're multiplying things that God has created, so you're still taking them back to creation. When you're writing, when you're learning how to speak and how to present yourself well, it's so that you can understand God's Word, so that you can speak God's Word, so that you can give an answer for the hope that is within you. And so all of those things still come right back to the core.
Now, what do you say to the workaholic dad, Jim Bob, the guy who's not involving his children at any point in his life? He just seems to be doing things. He's working the 70, 80-hour weeks. He's not really spending much time with his children. What's the problem there?
The problem is priorities. And that's such an easy thing to point the finger and say, you've got your priorities out of whack. We're brought up in a culture that says it's actually okay to be a workaholic. That's noble. It's like getting up early in the morning. That's a noble thing, apparently. By our, you know, if you're a morning person and you can get up early, then that's a noble vice to have. Working hard is a noble vice to have, and so our culture says that that's a good thing. Also, too, many men I know feel pressured. I know I did this when I was in a more corporate environment. My employer said, you know, that's great that you want to be able to spend that time with your children, and that you and we certainly give you the flexibility to do that. Now, of course, our job is to make our bottom line, and so we're going to reward those people that put in extra hours here. Now, you don't have to. Well, I'm just saying that you won't be rewarded, and so there's a big pressure there. And so those dads that do become those workaholics, I would give them the grace to say a lot of times it's because that's what they were taught. That's the way they were brought up, and they feel like they need to do those things. But I would encourage them, and I would call them, come, get into the Word of God and see what is it that God wants you to do. He wants you to impress these things on your children when you lie down and when you rise up. If you get up before they do, and you're gone before they do, and you come home after they're in bed, well, maybe it's time to rethink how you're doing things. Maybe it's time to actually change jobs, to move, to do those radical things, because God is going to say, what did you do with those children that I gave you?
Yeah. And the old question, when you're face up on your deathbed and you're sitting there going, okay, I made $1 million in my life, but my kids are a wreck.
Yeah.
You know, at that point, you're just wondering, you know, if you really did the right thing. So I think it's important for a lot of dads to stop for a moment and say, okay, I'm going to be dying here within 20, 30 years.
Right.
Now, what are my priorities today where I'm going to be happy I set those priorities correctly 20 to 30 years from now? And important questions. You know, here's one more question for you, Jim Bob. At some point, I really got involved in the choosing of curriculum because, you know, curriculum is something that is important. It certainly provides for the paideia, that is the training. That's the biblical word from Ephesians 6:4 for the training of the children. So is it important, do you think, for a dad to go with mom down to the homeschool curriculum fair or down to the homeschool conference and take a look at the curriculum and say, okay, what kind of curriculum are we going to use for our children?
Absolutely. when you look back in Scripture and at the fall, and then you look at in the New Testament and you see that that Paul says it is not for the woman to teach in the church. The reason he gives is because she's easily deceived. Now, if I take if I send my wife off to a conference and she spends 2 days there and she goes around to every booth and she goes and she listens to every speaker and then she comes back and says, okay, in a 5 minute synopsis of what went on there, and then now I'm supposed to make my decisions off of that. That's impossible. That's impossible for me to do. First of all, she's going to have a different filter. She's not been called to do that. That's my job. I'm supposed to be the one that impresses those things on my children.
And my wife really appreciates the fact that I get involved in these things because she walks by every single booth, and guess what? Everybody says their stuff is the very best,
absolutely,
and you're going to give your child a substandard education if you don't buy what I have right here. And she needs my input. She wants to know, what our values are. And what would work best for our children. And guess what? Also, two minds are better than one when it comes to raising children and taking into account our children's abilities and talents and so forth. So, yeah, I think it's really critical to
And we
to
do need to, as dads and as husbands, we need to communicate to our wives the vision that God has given us for the family that he has given us. We're to be the prophet and the priest and the king in our home, which means that we need to be presenting the Word of God to them. We need to be interceding for them. We need to be leading and protecting them. And so God says, this is your job. This is your role. He equips us for everything that we're supposed to do. And so if we're relying on him and we're looking to see, okay, well, what is it that we need to do to train up these children? Then that means it needs to be Dad's decision. Dad needs to be involved in understanding what the curriculum is. What is this teaching? What's the goal here? Where are you trying to go? And so when you look at those things and say, okay, well, I need to present my wife. I need to give her a vision, and I need to put it in writing so that she sees it on a day-to-day basis. When she's in the trenches, when she is in the weeds, she needs to know, where are we going with this? Why does this small thing that I'm having her do move us towards that goal? And what is that goal?
Getting involved as a father and really getting a vision for the family is sort of exciting. It makes life more interesting. And I think a lot of fathers really respond well to this message, Jim Bob, that, hey, you know what? You need to get a vision for your family. There's something more to life than your humdrum job.
Right.
And a lot of dads get excited with this sort of thing, don't they?
I certainly hope so. I do talk to dads that they get excited about it, and they go, yeah, and we can have a great conversation. But I also hear from a lot of moms that say, well, how do I get my husband to do that? Or what if my husband won't do that? Or would it be great if my husband had the same vision you have?
How do you answer that question?
I take them back to the Word and say, in 1 Peter, Peter admonishes the wives, you need to submit to your husband's vision. And God says that if you will, by your quiet submission to his vision, you'll win him over by doing that.
Yeah.
I would also encourage them, please have them come and listen to Kevin's talk. Have them come to this conference. Have them listen to other godly men. Because that's where I got my vision.
Yeah, it's amazing how many men I know went to those homeschooling conferences, mm-hmm. Jim Bob. They sat there, heard Doug Phillips or R.C.
Right.
Sproul Jr. or
right.
some other father up there with mm-hmm. a vision for their own families, and they just turned on right there. One guy told me he bought the tape, the Doug Phillips tape, and listened to it something like 12 times.
Right.
And it metamorphosized his whole view of life, his whole view of his family, his children. It just changed him, unbelievably so.
Right.
So, I'd say that here's what I'd say to dads. Hang out with guys who have a vision.
Yes.
Hang out with guys who have a vision. Go to their conferences, go to their homes, hang out with them, and pretty soon, guess what? You're going to have a vision.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, Jim Bob, we just have a minute or two left, but I want people to get in contact with you and your magazine. It's homeschoolingtoday.com.
That's right.
Okay. It's homeschoolingtoday.com, folks, for Jim Bob's magazine. He is editor-in-chief of that magazine. We've talked about it before on this program. One of the very best resources you can find on home education in the country. Go to homeschoolingtoday.com and check out the magazine. I encourage you to subscribe today. Jim Bob, thanks so much for joining us. We'd like to have you back on this program. Is that okay?
That would be great, Kevin. I always love talking to you.
Again, folks, you're going to find some great resources through the Homeschooling Today website. I'd encourage you to go there right now, homeschoolingtoday.com on the web. And Jim Bob Howard, we appreciate his input today on the dad's involvement in the homeschool. And, folks, if you'd like my book, Upgrade, The Philosophy Behind Homeschooling, What Does God Consider to Be the Best Education for Your Child? We went right to the Bible and we found the principles on education in the Bible. You can get my book, Upgrade, by calling 877-842-CHECK. Call 877-842-2432. This is my basic handbook on the education of a child, and I encourage it, all parents, to get the basic principles on the education of children by getting my book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. Call 877-842-2432 today. And you can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. You can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.